Hi, welcome to the podcast that explores what virtual assistants want business owners to know when they start asking themselves the question, hey, do I need a VA? I'm Rachel Davila, and after 18 years as a virtual assistant going it alone, I experienced the steep learning curve from the other side of the VA client relationship when I hired my own assistant. Joining me on this podcast is a group of friends and colleagues who all have their own take on what busy entrepreneurs need to know to find, hire, and work with a virtual assistant and mindfully answer the question, hey, do I need a VA? Let's get this episode started. Hey everyone, welcome back to Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. We're on episode 7, Determining Your Budget. And with me is Sydney Hubbard, Bree BV, and Leanne Remley, my trustee co-hosts with this wonderful podcast, which we've been getting great reviews on. And if you have been listening and would like to leave us a review, you can send us an email, or we'd love it if you would populate it on your platform review system. But let's get started. So when it comes to your budget, I always tell clients, let your budget guide you, but don't let it rule you. There should be lots of wiggle room in determining how much you can spend, how many hours that looks like, and what kind of VA you can utilize that pool of money for. So when considering working with someone, it's important to figure out how much money you can comfortably spend a month. And then determine, based on your handoff list and the tasks that you're looking for, what kind of VA that is, because different VAs charge different rates. So if you have $300, you could get 10 hours at $30 an hour, or, oh God, I'm going to do math, 5 hours at $60 an hour, right? So it may feel like you have a lot to hand off and all of it feels urgent, but as you're going to find out, there are ways to still get those important projects done and still find the right fit for your budget. So, ladies, one thing I do want to mention, a VA was never meant to be a low-cost option for an employee. Employees get paid by the employer. The employer takes on all of the overhead, the taxes, the time off, all that kind of stuff. A VA is their own business and they handle their overhead taxes and everything. And that price gets allotted into their hourly rate or their package or how they charge. So it's going to cost differently than an employee. The other thing is, a VA hour is different than an employee's hour. An employee gets paid whether they're at their desk or they're talking to a coworker or wandering the halls. A VA, I don't know about you guys, but when they charge by the butt in the chair time they're working on your project. So that's something to consider when looking at your budget and looking at the number of hours, because a VA hour is different than yours, right? If a project takes you a long time and you hire someone who specializes in that task, it's going to take them less time. And I don't know about you guys, but like I track my time when I start work and I turn my tracker off when I'm done working. And so it may take me 2 hours to work on a project, but that could be split over the whole month, right? Like in little increments. So those are important things to know ahead of time when you're thinking about budget and the amount of hours that you need. But I want to open this up to everybody else. What's one thing that you share with clients when you guys start the conversation around budgets and how much things are going to cost? Let's start with Leanne.
Okay. One of the things I always tell my clients is no matter what your budget is, let's start with something, a big pain point, but like the very first thing, it doesn't need to be like your whole budget. It just let's start with something smaller. Don't panic that you have, I only have 5 hours and I only get all the, let's start with one thing, you know, and then we can move forward from there. So when they're budgeting, I try to get them to think through more like, I need this done first and then move from there when they're figuring out their budget.
Yeah. Great. How about you?
Yeah, similarly, like I always try to explain to clients too that like when we start working together, it does take a little bit of a extra time in the beginning to do that get to know you phase, because you want somebody who's going to invest in getting to know what your voice is, what your brand feel is, what you like and what you don't, which requires some a little bit more back and forth in the beginning that will pay off big time throughout the rest of it, because you'll have to do less handholding, they'll get a better feel for you, they'll be able to take on tasks without extra guidance from you, which will save you time in your budget later. So it's a future investment for things that are going to come moving forward, because you when you pick a virtual assistant or somebody that you want to work with, you don't want to just do it as a one-off month thing. You want it to be a long-lasting, growing relationship. So it's a future investment in that relationship and that working collaboration that's going to be fostering something good for both of you. And to start with, like, you know, what is something that is feeling really, really overwhelming, but you can get pieces of it done. And if that means, like, what's the most important piece that you want to do this month? And if you want to get it all done in the first month, then it might cost you a little bit more. But if you want to pace it out, maybe there's like, we could get this chunk done this month, and then let's save this piece for next month, and let's milestone it out so that you can see that it's coming, have a plan for it, and gonna have a comfort knowing that that's coming, or knowing that if you have a press for it, that maybe it's just a little extra investment for a short period to get that pushed out.
I love how you called it an investment. You know, so often we just think about the task or handing it off, but you don't consider I'm investing time and energy to get to know vice versa, right? Like the client is getting to know the VA is getting to know the client, and there is that time that it takes to build that comfort and that trust and to go, oh, I can hand this off, and they're going to do it great, and not be so caught up in how much is it costing me? Yeah, I
Yeah.
like.
And that the investment's on both sides that
Yes.
way.
Sydney, how about you?
I think that for a while, I didn't think that much about the client end of them having to figure out like what's their budget, like the amount of time they would want me to work. And I think that what got me thinking more about that was when I got into kind of situations with a disorganized client, and then it's like, oh wait, like I'm not being paid. And so I think I trust that the client will know how to budget their business, but something that in the future I want to be really working on in like the initial interactions with a client is like, okay, how much are you willing to pay for a VA, right? And that means how many hours do you want me to work per month? Because I don't want to have to be doing budget work for the client if that's not what they're paying me to do. But I think definitely having a client think about that if they weren't already is definitely something that in the future I will be very conscious of.
Well, and I definitely think it's definitely something to bring up in those initial conversations, right? I mean, you know, in future episodes, we're going to talk about interview process and the questions that a VA will ask or that a client needs to ask, because I know for me, like, do you have time to do X amount of hours? Do you have the budget for X amount of hours? Right? Do I have space for X amount of hours? So, it's definitely should be initial conversation piece before you sign on the line to work with somebody. This is my budget. This is how much I have. Do you have that time in your practice? Do you have the budget in your wallet, right? So I think, yes, it's definitely good for both sides to know and to communicate that. The different ways VAs charge can be, that can come into play with how a client's budget can be best used or what clients look for. I know that when clients come to me and say, yeah, they want me to pay 20 hours up front, but we haven't even worked together yet, that kind of feels like a red flag for me, because I feel like there is that getting to know you period, and 20 hours a month is a lot of time, you know, for anyone. So when it comes to the way you charge, what do you tell clients? Like, how do you track time? How do you charge?
So I charge one of two ways. I either charge by the hour or I charge by the project. But a lot of my work is also like do a website. If I do by hour, it's the numbers get to be scary. It makes more sense to do by the project. It's more of a, hey, this is what you get at the end. That being said, I also want my clients to know that I'm not like, hey, I'm going to do 15 minutes and then you're going to disappear, because that doesn't make much sense. So for me, any new client, I ask them to put a retainer down of just for 1 hour, you know, pay for the first hour and then we work from there, so that I know they're real, that kind of stuff. I've had people do things in the past where they've taken the work and taken off, but I definitely do by the hour and then by project. I'm interested to hear how Bree's working on things though, because she had a hint earlier.
Go for it, Bree.
So there's a couple of ways. What we have done in the past is done prepaid retainers where people pay up front for an amount of hours to kind of get ahead of that problem that Cindy was talking about. And the part I like about that for way of doing it and how we've done it before is that clients know how much they're paying. They know what they're going to get at the end of that. It can be tracked and it can be sent to them. Nobody's surprised by a large bill at the end of the month. You kind of set up that expectation. I've heard some horror stories from clients and people who've worked with people where they're like, you know, I just said I wanted to do these tasks. We talked that it would be about this amount of time and that would be what they would charge me. And then at the end of the month, they get a bill that's double because things happened, things came up. There wasn't a communication about how much extra it was and the bill was double. So to get around that, that's one way that we've done things. The other way that we're doing things is that we're doing things based on deliverables and custom made packages. So you want 2 newsletters a month, 8 social media posts that are this type of posts, and you want this kind of thing. That's this packaged rate at this. And that has things that we were talking about earlier already allotted into it. The, you know, our overhead costs, the cost for our programs and things that we're using in conjunction with the tasks that we're doing, the prices that we're paying for our contractors, all those kinds of things. And then we have some tasks that you just can't say, like, oh, for sure it's going to be 5 hours of admin this month. So on those ones, then we have that, those kinds of things would be charged at hourly. So we kind of been doing a combination of these are your set prices for this deliverable, and then these are where we can help fill in the gaps and do that, you know, by a chunk of hours ahead of time. We'll give you a report of how those hours are being used and have a combination that way.
For me, I started paying by the hour by week. And I think mostly that was just because it was easier for me to keep track of. But as my business grew, I started charging per hour per month. So I'll send an invoice at the end of the month detailing like, this is what I worked on. This is how much time I spent on everything. I think that the upside of that is that clients can trust that here's everything that I'm doing and here's all the time that it took and you can see it, and then you can pay me and you can ask me any questions that you want about how long something took. I think the downside of that is that I'm not being paid ahead of time for my work. So I'll be doing all of this work and then I'll have to wait. Depending on the clients, most clients are great. But I mean, every so often there will be a client that's like that just isn't the most on top of the billing. And so that's why I really like the idea of the retainer. And I also like the idea of what Rachel is going to talk about.
So I just learned this new system. It's called a debit card system. So how that's different than a retainer, I feel like a retainer is you pay a certain amount for a certain amount of hours per month. And in the way I have done retainers in the past is if you don't use all of your hours, they don't roll over to the next month. And so it kind of encourages clients to hand stuff off, to do the things. So if they have 10 hours, I'm still tracking it. But then if they're only at 7 and we're wrapping up the month, you know, on both ends, you got 3 hours left of work because you're paying for the hours. And that's kind of a retainer. But it never really sat well with me because I didn't want to have to chase work. I kind of wanted clients to be like, oh, I have 10 hours. Where are we at? Here. But so this debit card system, clients pay for a package of 10, 20 hours, but they have 3 months to use it. So I track my time and then I deduct from the total number of hours and send them a reminder each week. It's a little bit more administrative on my end, but I kind of feel like that gives some wiggle room, especially with new clients who we might say, let's do a 3 month trial. Here's a, you know, set number of hours that, and if it goes really great, then they can purchase more hours when they run out. But if they're not, then they have 3 months to use the package of hours. So I kind of like that better than, because I've run into clients like Sydney was talking about that, you know, you do all the work and then you have to chase and you have to cajole and you have to wait. And sometimes you just have, the VA has to eat. I mean, I still have things on my books from when I first started my business because I didn't know what I didn't know back then. And now I know better. But so, I like the prepaid debit card because then I know. And then I can sit, and each week the client gets the reminder, this is where you're at. Give me something. Let's do this.
I like with that type of a payment thing where they're prepaying too, there's no surprises, right? Everybody knows that that's how much they've invested once it's gone. And like with us, when we do the retainer stuff, the way that we do it is we do like at 50% of the time, you get an update, we're halfway through. So if we're on a big project, you're going to know that there's lots of tasking happening. So you're probably going to see that come out a little faster. And then we update them at 75% as well. So that then if they only have that last little chunk left and they're like, okay, now they can set the priorities for the rest of that retainer, if that's what they have for that month or the time that they want to use, they could be like, you know what, let's just focus on this, or let's top it up, or let's change our focus and let's miss the priority, we'll leave the rest for next month. That doing it that way and giving them a heads up on things starts a conversation and allows them to make some more decisions on how that want that time spent. And same thing with the pre-priced package things, that they know that that's what they're getting, that those are their receivables, they can count on those, and then anything else they need, they can have topped up. So I think it helps having more conversations, because what we have found is sometimes when you're doing the hourly too, it can kind of shift the relationship a bit, and the conversation gets more focused and fixated on nitpicking hours over what is being done. What is the, like, you get kind of caught up in the details instead of seeing the big picture, right? Like, these are the big things that we've done. Here, celebrate the wins. We've got traction on this. We launched this thing that's making you some money to help pay for the next thing or whatever it is, right? That sometimes it can get then like, now we're focused on 5 minutes was spent on that and 10 minutes. And it's always kind of like that. Here's the report for your invoice and your kind of gun shy, or there's like these awkward conversations that come. So I find that the in the deliverables piece of it, there's a little bit more freedom on that. That it's like, hey, I know it's this and I know it's that. And if I need to make adjustments because it took more time than I thought on my end for me paying my subcontractors and stuff, well, then that's something I need to address in my rates and things. But it's not so much in the forefront and becoming something that can get lost.
Yeah. I don't itemize my time. I just, here's the amount of time you used. I mean, I do communicate with the client throughout the time, you know, the month with what I'm doing and everything. But in terms of this is how long it took me, I don't share that with a client. Do you, Leanne?
Yeah, I do an itemized bill.
Okay.
But it's kind of a hybrid. So I don't say I did 15 minutes on this day and 10 minutes on this day on a project. It's like the project was this amount of time, mm-hmm. even if it's, you know, as many, you know, it's like, okay, I worked, you know, 2 days and it took me, you know, half hour each day. Well, it was 1 hour
right.
towards that. I don't, you know, I didn't, hey, between 12 and two, I did this much time. I don't go quite that detail. But they do get an itemized bill of everything that I do, unless it's a project based, in which case it's here you go.
Yeah, here's a project. Yeah. So do you guys ever help a client figure out what their budget is? Like, how much do you have? Okay, how many hours? Right? Because VAs charge across the board. I mean, you have a $25 an hour VA all the way up to $100 an hour VA and all points in between. So, you know, if someone has only a finite amount of money per month, I think a lot of people think, oh, it's going to take me a lot of time, so I need to hire a $25 an hour VA because I need 10, 15, whatever hours. But then what they really need, based on our episode with all VAs are different, is they need a higher price VA to help them get things going and everything. So in my Find a VA program, I have a worksheet that kind of takes clients through, okay, well, if I hire a VA at this price point, I get this many hours. And if I hire someone at this price point, I get this many hours. And based on my handoff list and the skills that I need, that's the range so that when they start the interview process, then they can kind of go, oh, okay, well, they fit within my range, right? Because I need X number of hours or skills. So I will put a link to that worksheet with the show notes. Do you guys offer anything that can help a client determine their budget?
I don't offer something specifically that helps the client determine the budget, but the one resource that we have is ways that you can save money when you're working with a virtual assistant, like different ways that you can feed them information or things that you can consider that would make things efficient and then obviously save you time that way.
That's a good offering too. So can we put that in with the show notes?
Yep.
Yay. Well, because those two things together really could help somebody kind of look at their handoff list and go, oh, well, according to Breeze, how to save money, I need to do all this before so that I can fit in with Rachel's budget worksheet. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today on this episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. If you have any questions, you can email them to us at heyvapodcast@gmail.com or use the Linktree link in our show notes to contact any one of us. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please leave a like, comment, or review. And feel free to join our Facebook group, Find, Hire, and Work with a VA, for more tips and tools. If you have any questions, please email them to heyvapodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.